You're listening to the Discover You Life podcast. Through conversations with pretty cool Muslims, people of Dua, of Ihsan, people who found a way to walk their dreams with Islamic excellence, we take you on a path of discovery. This is the podcast where you discover you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ma wala amma ba'd. Good morning, Vietnam! So, interestingly, I'm going to share a story about Vietnam. And, you know what? Okay, this is a, you know what? Because I'm laughing and this is a serious story. And I don't know how to make the transition. I don't know how to make the transition between that. So I feel like he's just messed up my whole speech right now. I have to think of something else. Brain crash. I'm sorry, guys. Does anybody have a question? You know what? I'm going to skip that story. And maybe if the tone changes towards the end, I'll tell you guys the story. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, or I think I have a different story. Let me get a different story. I don't have a different story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever disaster, calamity befalls upon the earth or amongst yourself, في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها, that indeed it's written and إلا في كتاب, it's in a kitab, it's in a register, من قبل أن نبرأها, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings it into being. In other words, that whatever happened, coronavirus or anything else, it's written in a kitab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, من قبل أن نبرأها, before it comes into being. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that promising us that He's going to test us in our with some fear, with some hunger, and a loss of wealth and a loss of life. It's going to be a test. And it's already promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something shocking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we will surely test you with something of fear, like a shay'in, a portion of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and loss of lives and fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give glad tidings for the patient ones. Remember in one of our other Facebook lives, I spoke about how that we're often giving doom and gloom type of lectures. But in fact, if you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly and reminding us to give glad tidings to the believers. In other words, when these tests come, it's a time of giving glad tidings for the believers, giving glad tidings for people who are patient. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك. The Prophet ﷺ said, whatever strikes you was never going to miss. And whatever misses you was never going to strike you. In other words, when something happens, again, let's say coronavirus, there was no way that could have been avoided. There was no way. It was written before, as we saw in the first verse. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test us. And we also know that whatever befalls us would never miss. And whatever misses us was never going to strike us. Now, the story that I wanted to share is the story of Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya. Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya is from Vietnam. And his father, rahimahullah, they're in Seattle. And his father was coming out from the masjid in the dark, and he was killed. The Sheikh Abdul Bari, rahimahullah's father, killed. And they're from Vietnam. And he was telling the story. You know, I gave my condolences online. This is many years ago. You're talking about like maybe 15 years ago. And he was giving, telling, I gave my condolences. His father, it sounds very scary. But then later, he was actually explaining it. He was explaining it to a lecture that he was giving. And I loved his response. You know what happened was Sheikh Abdul Bari was there. And he heard the gunshot. And he went to his father who had fallen. And his father was still alive. And so Sheikh Abdul Bari immediately went to him and said, "Say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah." And his father said, "La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah." And then Sheikh Abdul Bari said to his father, he said, "The ambulance is going to come, police are going to come. They're going to ask you questions. Don't talk to them. Let the last thing that you say be La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah." And his father nodded. And taken to the hospital, and his father was killed. Rahimahullah ta'ala, shaheed inshallah. When Sheikh Abdul Bari was explaining this, his own reflection and his own way of processing this was, you know, Sheikh Abdul Bari was at peace. And then he was explaining why he was at peace. And he explained a couple of things about what I talked about here. Number one is, he said, whatever struck my father was never going to miss him. And whatever missed him was never going to strike him. And Sheikh Abdul Bari was saying that this was written. This was written before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. Everything is in a kitab. Everything is a register before it is executed out. And so everything is written. So this was never not going to happen. When he thought about the punishment, about, you know, catching the murderer and bringing him to justice, Sheikh Abdul Bari was like, you know what? Justice, if you think of the jail system, it's only a few years. He said, if this person doesn't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what kind of punishment is awaiting this person in the hereafter? Right? And so, after feeling all of these things, Sheikh Abdul Bari was at peace. And so when the police officers came and they started asking Sheikh Abdul Bari about what happened, father and stuff like that, he was so at peace that the police officers thought that he did it. They go, "We have never met somebody that is so at peace that, you know, father got shot and you're at peace." And then Sheikh Abdul Bari started explaining all of these things and was giving them da'wah and understanding the position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I say this to you guys today in our mass daily community huddle. I'm sharing this with you so that we understand that whatever is happening to us was never going to miss us. And everything that was happening was written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it happened. It was there in the kitab. Nothing was going to stop it. And it was never going to miss it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we already know that Allah is going to test us. But if we are patient, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and we place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, placing our trust in Allah when something's out of our hands, then this is from, you know, glad tidings for the believers. So in conclusion, inshallah ta'ala, I would like to do this little activity with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it may be that you dislike something and it's better for you. And it may be that you like something and it's not good for you. And it's evil for you. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. And Allah knows and you do not know. So as a little activity here, you can type in the comments, what is something that you something that you do not prefer? You do not prefer, but it may be good for you. Type that in right now. What's something? Think about it. What's something that normally you do not prefer it, but it may be better for you? What's something that you do not prefer, but it might be good for you? I'll give you a moment to type that in. Something that you do not prefer, that it may be better for you. So Jean says, being sick. Maybe somebody is being sick and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from something else. Sure. Something that you do not prefer, but it may be better for you. And Imran says, my current job location, doing my PhD. How is it better for you? How is it possibly better for you? So not just the thing, but how is it possibly better for you? You know, there was a brother, I'll share with you just a point. There was a brother and I attended his, he was in a jail, one of these, you know, Muslim brothers going to jail, a conspiracy thing against them and stuff like that. And this brother was, it was the final, and he got like some crazy sentence, like 30 years in jail or some crazy thing like that, just because that was the height of, you know, fear against Muslims. And he was saying that, you know what? He goes, I wasn't even a good Muslim. He's like, I almost was like leaving my deen. And then this happened to me and brought me to jail. And then I realized that there's no good that can come except from turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this brother's case, he may have left Islam and died a non-Muslim, but because of this fitna that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he turned back to Allah azza wa jal and became better. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That perhaps you dislike something, but it's better for you. Okay, so let's do the opposite. What is it that you may prefer? You prefer it, but it might not be good for you. So I know a lot of you guys are saying just the thing, but what do you prefer or you like, but it might not be so good for you? And how so? Something that you like. Something that you like. So there was a brother, for example, another thought that comes to my mind, something that he preferred. This brother came to Canada and he preferred, hey, I want Canadian citizenship. I want to move to Canada and so on. And he told me this later. And then one of the first things he did was he attended a Maghrib class. I was teaching the class and he got inspired. He went and he applied to work in Medina, Masjid Nabawi. And then he got accepted and he moved with his family to Medina and his whole life changed. And he met me in Medina with his children. And he said, I preferred to live in Canada when I first came, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose something else for me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him and his family and everybody raised, you know, good Muslims and everything's good like that. Allahu ta'ala. All right, guys, that's it. That's a reminder for today. Jazakallah khair. We had a really good turnout for today. So, I have a question that sometimes when I hear, this is like, we're done this speech, but now I'm going to tell you my train of thought. I had this question in my mind of, you know, when people, they're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and things aren't going so well. And then you'll see somebody say in the comments, or they themselves will say something like that, I'm just going to trust Allah's plan. I'm just going to trust Allah's plan. I'm going to have faith. I'm just going to trust on Allah's plan. But see, I have a problem with that comment because I'm like, how do you know Allah's plan that you're going to trust in it? Like maybe the plan is that you slap yourself, you go in and take action and get this done instead of saying I'm waiting for something to happen, right? So I have a problem with the comment. I'm going to trust in Allah's plan because I'm like, what does that mean? I'm going to trust in Allah's plan. So it got me looking into tawakkul. What does placing your trust in Allah mean? So I actually found out some really beautiful distinctions and clarifications of what it means to place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I got some really great examples from the seerah teaching what it means to place the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this content is so epic that I told my team that we need to do a special webinar for this one. That not just the daily huddle, but we need something bigger, inshallah ta'ala. So team's putting something together, and inshallah ta'ala, in a few days, you're going to hear the announcement for that, where the webinar is going to be and stuff, and I'll share with you that content. What does it mean to place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how can you say you trust Allah's plan when you don't even know Allah's plan? So that's coming up too. And Visionaire Ramadan 2020 is coming up soon. Make sure you're part of that as well. So check it out, Visionaire Ramadan. In Visionaire Ramadan, we talk a lot about, you know, tie your camel and place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah ta'ala, that's all going to be the trusting in Allah, the dua, and placing your trust in Allah. Inshallah ta'ala, in Visionaire 2020, we will make this an epic at-home Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. A Ramadan that you will never forget. Bismillah. All right, guys, I'm done. I'm finished. Does anybody have a question? Some people tuned in later. I think this is like our biggest turnout. Mashallah. Saima Khan says, how is it different than Visionaire 2030? I think you mean. Saima Khan, how is Visionaire 2020, Visionaire Ramadan, let's just say Visionaire Ramadan, how is it different than Visionaire 2030? Visionaire 2030, the outcome of Visionaire 2030 was to design a roadmap, a blueprint in 5 areas of our life, dream blueprints for the next 10 years. And so Visionaire Ramadan, the focus is on dua and designing 6 dream duas for Ramadan and for the last 10 nights of Ramadan specifically. So the focus is hardcore on how to design du'as that speak to your heart. So when people make du'as, they usually, the really, really good ones, the exciting ones that that motivate people, usually comes from pain. Usually comes from pain. One moment. They usually come from pain. And my question was that I asked a long time ago that I was wondering was, how can we make a dua that is not based from pain, but based in thankfulness, but has the same power and, you know, same passion from our side as a dua that comes from pain? And that brought me to, you know, this this visionary process and doing a retreat before Ramadan and then eventually doing this visionary Ramadan. I did it for many years by myself and then I started doing it with other people. And so for the last 7 years consistently, we've been doing visionary Ramadan. People who have done visionary Ramadan know what the difference is between it and Visionaire 2030. But if it's your first time, if it was your first time taking Visionaire 2030, then you might not know what that is. Muhammad Ahmed, you can find out information about Visionaire on, let's call it Visionaire Ramadan. you can find it at visionaireramadan.com. Let me type it in for you, bro. There you go. Anybody else have a question? So we got a lot of questions today. Interesting. Here we go. The questions are coming fast, and by the time I try answering one, I start reading the next one. So that's not good. Let's take it one by one. Ayan says, how does someone who is self-isolating at home alone do an effective tarawih? By effective, what do you mean? Do you mean like somebody who's reading and understanding what they're saying? So I used to pray at home alone even before, you know, this year happened. And I'd be in isolation and I enjoyed praying alone. And then sometimes, you know, certain imams, and I like the recitation, I go to the masjid and stuff like that. If you're talking about, I would tell you, Ayan, ask yourself, what does effective mean to you? And then start saying, well, how can I do that at home? What does it mean to you? That might be like knowing what you're saying in the salah and stuff like that. And making time and being consistent, building up a habit. Shahana says, how does dua fit in with what is written? If it's written for you and won't miss you or won't be you, it's not written, then it should be that way, irrespective of du'as. Shahana, so the Prophet ﷺ said that nothing changed the written registry. Nothing can change the written registry except du'a. So as you're saying, how does du'a fit in? It actually can change what's written. In fact, even Laylatul Qadr and the du'as of Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, one of the explanations of it is this is the day that the Qadr is coming down. So the Prophet said, you want to be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, the Qadr, the Qismat is being written so that you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best and your dua can change the direction of that Qismat. Qismat. Kamran Ahmed says, and if you guys asked a question earlier and it's like up at the top, just copy paste it and bring it down and repost it. We'll be done in 10 minutes. Alhamdulillah, we have a great, great community right now. There's a lot of people out here on this Facebook Live, so I'll keep answering questions, inshallah ta'ala. Kamran's question, can dua be made specifically for being blessed with something or someone? So Kamran, what I advise people when they're designing their duas is to be specific. So can you make a dua that's specific? The answer is yes. I think you're talking about someone, like, oh, getting married to someone. And can you mention them specifically? It goes into a little detail. It may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something different and you have to understand that dua, you can make dua for something specific, but understand that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something else, that it could be better for you. And you have to appreciate that. Allah. Sumayya Zakaria says, can using credit cards also be a reason for du'as not getting accepted as interest is involved? So credit cards, it's not so simple, right? It's not so simple as, you know, interest is involved, credit cards, debit cards, stuff like that. And it's a long financial discussion about this. So I wouldn't just jump to the conclusion that interest is involved. If you're talking about like, hey, I, you know, paid $5,000 on a credit card and I only pay back $1,000, pay the rest in interest, stuff like that, and you're paying, a person's paying interest. Let's put that aside for a second, but let me generalize the question. Can their du'as be accepted even if they commit haram? And the answer is yes, that it can, because there's nobody that does not commit haram. There's nobody that does not commit haram. And so committing haram isn't a condition like, oh, you have to be flawless in order to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if somebody has credit card dua, and Sumayya, I don't know if you're asking about yourself or you're asking about somebody else. It seems like you're asking about somebody else. Generally saying, if you were asking about yourself, then you want to say something like, make your dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah for forgiveness. At the same time, actually, regardless of credit card, we're always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness because that's what we do. We sin and we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yesterday's session was about that, or I think the day before. Paras's question says, can you please give some tips on memorizing Quran efficiently? So here's one tip that I have. Here's one tip that I have. I have a clock when I was younger, and I had a clock, and the clock would, it's a hand clock, not a digital clock. Digital clock could work too, but hand clock is better. You have a hand clock, and then you say to yourself, hey, in the next 15 minutes, you have micro goals. So you might say, in the next 15 minutes, I'm going to memorize, you know, these two verses. And then you start focusing, I'm going to memorize two. So micro goals. And then you move on to the next 15 minutes, I'm going to memorize these three verses. In the next 15 minutes, I'm going to do this. In the next 15 minutes, I'm going to, you know, read the whole page at least two times without looking. And then the next 15 minutes. So you have these micro goals. That's one thing that I would do when I was memorizing Quran. You want to, another tip for memorizing Quran efficiently, obviously, is to be in a program and a paid program in which you have accountability to somebody. And yeah. So those are two ideas. Halima's question, Halima says, how do you choose between a duty to a community and duty to your family? For example, a nurse with illness avoiding working in hospital at this time so that they do not expose themselves or their family. What takes preference, duty to community or one's family? That's a hard question, you know, because when there's like something like this going on, and you're talking about a nurse, and then it could be like fard kifaya. There needs to be people, basically, because it's not so simple, because you're talking about frontline defense. It may be that this person has no choice if the emir of the community or the country commands people to step forward, you know. So it's kind of like if there's a war, and these are frontline soldiers, and they may not have a choice that to decide, like, hey, should I stay home and take care of my family, or should I go to the front line? And these nurses are kind of like in the same situation. I'm talking off the top of my head, and these are fatwa answers that I should not be speaking about, but I just want to tell you that it's not so simple, and it needs a fatwa. Like fatwa from a fatwa committee, wallahu a'lam. And I don't think it's just personal opinion that can decide something like this. Subuhi's question, we'll be done at half an hour, so there's five more minutes left. Doesn't matter how many questions are there, but it is what it is. Subuhi's question says, are there specific acts that can increase our ability for our days, I guess, du'as, to get answered? Zakat, tawbah. Yeah, so Subuhi, the things that will increase our du'as, I could put like rocket boosters on our du'as, are thankfulness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're thankful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find... if you're thankful, that Allah will increase you. Another thing that you can do is zakat for sure, yeah, tawbah. So the Prophet ﷺ said charity extinguishes Allah's anger like fire extinguishes, water extinguishes fire. And so a person gives sadaqah so that their du'as are answered as well. Tawbah, of course, taqwa. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having that taqwa of Allah azza wa jalla, racing back to Allah, repenting to Allah, also increases the opportunity for the du'a to get answered. I would also add to it, and tying your camel. Tie your camel and place your trust in Allah. Ayan says, can I follow a recitation of some kind online live stream to help me pray tarawih like I would have in the mosque behind an imam? So again, inside a masjid, you don't live stream in a masjid. You're basically praying physically behind an imam. Can you do that? And the answer is no, you cannot. In order for a prayer, a congregational prayer, to be valid, the lines from the imam have to continue to the ladies section. If you are not in continuous lines, you can't just randomly think of a masjid. And then just because you have a technology connection to the masjid doesn't mean that you have a physical connection to that masjid and that tarawih recitation. The answer is you can listen to the Quran being recited, but you cannot follow in salah with that. And Lubna's question is similar to that. Sumaya says, my daughter, 8-year-old, salam alaikum, daughter, says she's making dua for her dream room, but it's not getting accepted. Why not? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers du'as in one of three ways, my dear sister. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either say yes and you'll have your dream room, or you'll say yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your du'a and says yes, but I have something better for you. So maybe this dream room that you're waiting for, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, maybe the coronavirus is going to be over and there's some new things coming out and it's better than what you think is your dream room. This is your double dream room. So yes, but it's coming later. Or it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something better for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, but I have something better for you. Maybe you're going to move into a new house instead of doing this dream room. And then the new house has a double, triple amazing dream room. So, but the thing is, you never want to say that Allah didn't answer my du'a. So the Prophet said, Allah will answer all du'as so long as a person doesn't say, I made du'a and it wasn't answered. So you never want to say like that. You just keep making your du'a and caring about it. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. One or two last questions. Laura Carmudi says, Jazakallah khair for all your wisdom. How do you find that genuine connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your du'as? The genuine connection to Allah in your du'as. So, Laura, what I was talking about is when there is a du'a that we really, really care about, and it's usually from pain. Like I said, if somebody has a child with a serious illness, or an exam the next day, or citizenship, or you get the idea. There are, when it comes from pain, usually there's this serious, genuine connection in du'a. A person's crying, a person's staying up at night, because they really care about the du'a. So what I was talking about was, how do you get a du'a that is coming from thankfulness, and not from pain, but still have the same passion? So that's what the whole course is, Laura, the Visionary Ramadan. It's going to be all about that. But in specific, I'll give you one idea, is that if it is something that your heart truly desires. So let's suppose somebody's an accountant and they hate accounting, and they're like, oh Allah, you know, let me get a promotion at work, and they hate accounting. But what they really, really care about is they want to write children's books, for example. So because they care so much about that, and maybe it was a dream that was stifled since they were a little kid, and because they care about that dream, it brings so emotion, then they bring something like that up in their dua, and they're like a little child crying for something that they cared about for so many years. Then that's where you get the connection. In your, when you get those kind of du'as, then your salah goes to the next level, your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to the next level. And the Visionary Ramadan program is about finding those type of du'as, making them specific. And I have like a formula on how to do that over the years. Okay, this is the last question. And we are done. It's half an hour after the hour. Mr. Furqan, welcome, Furqan. Should I have my du'as ready before Ramadan or make them during? I usually design my du'as during Ramadan because that's where I get the inspiration, and I aim to have them ready for the last 10 nights of Ramadan. If you design your du'as before Ramadan, then you don't have the same inspiration for it the way that Ramadan gives you inspiration. So that's what I like to do. Design my du'as in Ramadan so that they're ready to go for the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Jazakallah khairan, everybody. Great session today. Like I said, I have a special webinar bonus. We haven't chosen the time yet, but it's going to be on the topic of what does it mean to trust the plan of Allah when you don't even know what the plan of Allah is. That's my question. Webinar details coming soon. Check out visionaryramadan.com. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.